All right, let's talk about today's message. Now, we have been working on our faith building our faith muscles, our faith building campaign, right? We have been learning those verses. We've been reading them. We've been saying, yes, God, I believe in those. Man, I celebrate that. Oh, that's awesome, God. I want to hear more of that. You notice that sometimes you read one of those verses and it just really fires you up, gets you excited. That's our faith-building campaign. But on top of that, we're building our faith for a specific reason. And today I want to talk about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. What do you know about the kingdom of God? Think about that for a moment. What do you know about the kingdom of God? Because we're going to be learning about the kingdom of God, and we should be learning about the kingdom of God, because that was one of the most important things to Jesus, was the kingdom of God. He talked about it all the time. In fact, in Luke 4:43, listen to what he says about the kingdom of God. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. Jesus had a purpose. His purpose is to teach the kingdom of God. That means if Jesus' purpose, he was sent for that reason, if he was there to teach the kingdom of God, what do you think the most important thing for you to learn is? What is the kingdom of God? How does it work? What do I do with it? Where do I put it? How long do I need it? Right? You should be excited about, you need to know this. This is the purpose for which Jesus came, was the kingdom of God. Some of you might be going, I don't even know what the kingdom of God is. Where is it? Do you have a map? I'd like to go. Maybe it's over there by Knott's Berry Farms. Maybe? Disney? Could be next to Disneyland. Who knows?
That's the magic kingdom.
The kingdom of God, though, is important. This is the purpose. Jesus had a purpose, and he came. He was sent for that purpose, to teach the kingdom of God. And we need to know about that. Now let's go back to Luke 16:16. This is Jesus speaking again. He said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. So up till the time that Jesus came, was sent, nobody was preaching the kingdom of God. John referred to here as John the Baptist. John the Baptist, we know, was right there just before Jesus. They kind of knew each other. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. So we know they were familiar. They even say they were related in other scriptures, right? But here, the law and the prophets were until John. Something changed at that point after John the Baptist. Something was different. And now, since that time, Jesus, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. What happened with the law and the prophets? What is a prophet? Think about that for a moment. The prophet tells the future. He tells of things to come, things that are going to happen. He said, okay, this is something that's going to happen, guys. Get ready for it. Get ready. Right? That's what a prophet's doing. God is giving them information about something to come. So they were getting prepared for this very moment. All those other prophets were preparing. And the law, of course, we know is when we're trying on our own to meet all those laws and commandments to perfect ourselves. And we have to do it in our own righteousness, and we know that it's impossible and that we struggle and that it's difficult. But it was there for us to shoot for something in the meantime until this moment came. So when Jesus came, everything changed. It's no longer about the prophets and the law. Now it's about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has been preached. And it says, and everyone is pressing into it. Everyone is getting into it. Everyone is learning it. Everyone is excited about it. It's funny he says everyone, because I don't think everyone was excited about it. I kept hearing the Pharisees upset about what he was talking about. But this is the very reason he came, the kingdom of God. That point right there where he came is so important that we even label it differently. Because we have B.C. and we have A.D. Our timeline. We look towards that point right there, that something changed right there. Now, if you don't know that something changed right there, you need to start looking. Because even the world changed right there. Everything about the world changed right there. And everything about us and our future changed right there when Jesus came to teach the kingdom of God. Now, why the heck was none of these other people, prophets and such not, and priests and high priests and Moses and all these guys that came before that did great things, why were none of them teaching the kingdom of God? If it's that important, why were they not teaching the kingdom of God? If we need to know this. Let's go down and take a look here at John chapter 3. I don't know where we're going down to. I guess it's down on my page. Lower on my page it is. Here we have John chapter 3. Now, this, if you were in my Bible study, or have been doing Bible study with Golden Heart, you've already heard this verse. You've probably heard it this past week, because this is the one we were studying. And man, God opened up revelations and realizations to me when we did this particular verse. Listen to what John says, and this is John the Baptist speaking. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Now, when I heard this particular verse, I had heard it many times, and what always I saw in my mind was that the friend is rejoicing because of the bridegroom. He's rejoicing because of the bridegroom is what I heard and what I remembered and what I saw. And I read this scripture multiple times, and I always saw that the friend is rejoicing because of the bridegroom. But when you look closely at this verse, it says, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. The bridegroom's voice makes the friend rejoice. The voice. So it made me ask God a question during Bible study. What the heck is being said by the bridegroom that makes this guy rejoice? And also, if you look earlier in that same verse, verse 29, he says, he who stands and hears him, hears the bridegroom. So again, they're listening to something. They're hearing something. What is that something that the bridegroom is saying with his voice that makes this guy rejoice? And in this verse, if you understand it, the bridegroom is Jesus and the friend is John the Baptist. So what was it that was making John the Baptist rejoice? It was that Jesus was teaching the kingdom of God. And that as John the Baptist heard about the kingdom of God, he was getting excited. He was getting fired up. He couldn't wait. He had waited for this for his whole life. He had waited for this moment, somebody to come and teach the kingdom of God. And now he was excited because of what the bridegroom was saying. He wanted to hear it. Now, why didn't he say it, though? Let's go down further because he answers that question. This is verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He is again speaking of Jesus who came from above. John the Baptist came from the earth. John the Baptist, being a prophet, even the greatest prophet, as Jesus said, only speaks of earthly things. He does not speak of things that are above. He speaks of earthly things. Jesus, who came from above and is above all, speaks of the things that are above. He who comes from heaven is above all. Jesus they're speaking about. And what he has seen and heard that he testifies, and one receives his testimony. So he is testifying of what? The things of heaven. The things that are above. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. So Jesus came, and you heard Jesus say this, I don't say anything unless my Father says it. So he speaks the words of God. He speaks the words of the one who sent him. Remember, he was sent to preach the kingdom of God. That's what he is talking about. Those are the words that he hears God saying. And he is filled with the Spirit. Okay? So John the Baptist and all the other prophets before that were from the earth. They were men. They could not preach the kingdom of God. They did not know it. They had not received it. Jesus, who was sent for that purpose, came from above, came down from heaven, to teach the kingdom of God. That's how important this is. This is where everything changed. Our world changed at that point. Your life changed at that point. Because of him coming and teaching the kingdom of God, everything about you changed. Now, the plan of God from the very beginning was to have the kingdom of God upon the earth and working in the earth. But you know, Adam, who received it, decided it was much like he started to examine it. He wanted to figure it out. So he ate from that apple, the knowledge of good and evil. He started to break it down, try to know all the nuances and all the points of how everything worked. He didn't need to know how everything worked. It's like a computer. Do you know all the ins and outs of how a computer works? You just need to know what command to put in there, right? You put the right command in, the computer works. You know, you don't have to take it apart and look inside and break down all the circuits and figure out all these different systems and how they run to use a computer. It's the same thing with the system of God. You don't have to go in and break down all the pieces. You don't have to rip it all apart. You just need to know what command to put into the system. Trust your computer to work. Trust God to work. And just put in the right command and it will come out. You know, when I was a little boy, I used to like to take things apart too. I remember I used to have this screwdriver. I got it for Christmas. And I would go around the house, I think it was 7 or 8 or something, and anywhere I'd find a screw, I'd unscrew it. Some of the screws were too tight for me to loosen, so I couldn't get them unscrewed. But wherever I found a screw that was loose enough, I would undo it. Now, I wasn't being malicious or destructive in my mind. I just loved the whole idea that this screwdriver could unscrew stuff. And I liked using it. Problem was, man, over the next several days and months, the havoc that was wreaked in my house because of this. Doors suddenly fall off the cupboard. Nobody knows why. Suddenly, something's not working. A doorknob is rattling and loose, and nobody knows why. Funny thing was, as a kid, I don't really even know if I clued into the fact that because I had unscrewed that door fell off. You know, I was just going around and having fun. You know, and I think in some way that's the way Adam was. He didn't have the true understanding of how to use the tool he had. And so as a result, instead of just using the computer, putting in the commands that God gave, he started taking it apart. And much like me, when I took something apart, I also didn't know how to put it back together. And as a result, something would happen. I remember probably around that time, too, where my curiosity about mechanical things was kicking in, and, oh, I was going to fix something. I remember one time I went to my father's car. He had a great big Ford Galaxy, one of these monster 64 Ford. And I just thought, I'm going to look under the hood. I had my screwdriver. So I went to open the hood of this car, and the hood of that car's got 2 latches, and I got the first one open, and that hood is big. I couldn't get the second latch open. That probably saved my father's car, because can you imagine what I would have unscrewed if I would have got the hood up? I never got the hood up. The thing was, though, I undid 1 latch and couldn't put it back down, which was no problem until the next day, when my father and the whole family decided to go to town. We get in the car, and we're flying down, and we live out in the country on these gravel roads, and the roads are kind of bumpy, and this big car is bouncing like this. And suddenly, just a half mile from the house, this hood bounces down, and this hood flies up, and the wind rips it right off.
Oh, God.
And the hood hits the top of the car, nearly smashed the windshield, and flips off into the ditch. I was sitting in the back seat thinking, sure glad I wasn't in the front seat. That would look dangerous. But more than that, my father pulls the car over the side and he knows somebody's been tampering with my car. I didn't say a word. I might not be here today if I'd said a word. But the problem is, my point is, sometimes we want to try to take things apart, break them down, know every nuance of it. And when we're working in the system of God, we don't have to understand all the ways it works. In fact, Jesus used a parable about this. He talked about a man that went out to sow his field, And then the next day he sees it growing. He doesn't understand how it's growing. He does not have to understand how it's growing to plant it. He just has to go out and do what he's told, to plant the field. And it's the same thing with us. But see, Adam took it apart. When he took that computer apart, it went offline. That means the system of God went offline. Suddenly it's no longer working, the system of God. It's not working in the earth the way it was supposed to. So Jesus had to come to put the system back online. What the heck is this thing of kingdom of God still, you're asking, right? What is it? Let's read some things that Jesus said about it. He talked a lot about it. He made a lot of comparisons, parables about it. He talked about it being like a mustard seed. Mustard seed being a very small seed. He said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's so small. You ever seen a mustard seed? It's very small. But when it grows, it becomes this massive tree that puts out huge branches so the birds of the air can nest in it. So something so small seems kind of insignificant to us. He compared the kingdom of God to leaven, where somebody takes a little bit of leaven and they put it in some meal. Again, so small it doesn't seem like very much, but the next day you come and the meal has raised up. It's become bigger. It's become greater than it was. So this is what Jesus is comparing this kingdom of God. Now, where is the kingdom of God? It's not a place. We have a misunderstanding, a lot of us. The kingdom of God, oh, that's heaven. That's where God lives. But Jesus said very clearly, this is Luke 17:21, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Don't get fooled by people telling you, oh, kingdom of God's over here. Come on over here and see it. Or the kingdom of God is over there. Go see it over there. You're going to be running around after the wrong thing. Because Jesus stated very clearly, the kingdom of God is within you. It is within you. Start thinking about that a little bit. It'll start giving you an idea about what the kingdom is. Now he also said, and we already kind of covered this when we were talking about John the Baptist, but this is in Jesus' own words. He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. This is the time. This is what I was sent for. I'm here right now to teach you the kingdom of God. You can receive it right now. This is what Jesus is telling them. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. How important is the kingdom of God? Let's see what Jesus said about that. Luke 12:31. I'm going through a lot of verses, but I'm giving you information that's still about the kingdom of God. We're going to tie this all up at the end, so bear with me. Make some notes if you need to. Get out your pen. Make some notes. Luke 12:31. This is what Jesus said. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay? So here he's talking about seek first the kingdom of God. That's how important it is. Where is it ranked? What should be the first thing on your list of things to do? Seek first the kingdom of God. All these other things he's talking about, he summed them up in the previous verses. That's all his physical wants, all the needs, the food, the shelter, the, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because the kingdom of God is within us. And the kingdom of God is not a place somewhere out beyond us. It is a system that is dwelling within us. A system that Jesus has put back online. And this system is in there. What it does is it liberates us. It frees us. The system of God frees you. The system of God frees you so that you can be free from sickness, free from death, free from poverty, free from darkness or forces of darkness or anything that tries to stand against you and the plan and promises of God that God has put into your heart. The system will overcome that. The kingdom of God is not of words. Listen to this. This is in 1 Corinthians. This is Paul writing this. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is about power. Now let's talk about that word power, because a lot of us start thinking of power as somebody who's controlling and ruling and with an iron fist. But that's not the kind of power we're talking about here. Yes, power means authority, having the right to do something, having the ability to do it, having the strength to do it. But it doesn't mean you have to be angry or aggressive. You have the power, because the power of God is not about aggression or anger. Listen to what Paul says in this verse, the second verse, right after the power. I'll read that verse 20 again. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It is power, the kingdom of God. And what do you want? This is Paul speaking. Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? So he could come with a rod, meaning discipline. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Or in love and a spirit of gentleness. That's the power that we're talking about. It is the power of love. Remember, it was said, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. That is what we are talking about when we're talking about the kingdom of God. It is a power within us. It is a strength within us that breaks down all barriers, breaks down all limitation, casts out all fear, all anger, so that love can rule supreme, so that we are liberated and freed from the shackles of bondage. We are broken away from being under the law of sin, and we are free to walk in goodness and mercy and receive the blessing. It manifest the blessing. The kingdom of God within us, that power within us, manifest the blessing in your life. Manifests the miracles in your life. Transforms your life. That is the power that we have. We have power. We have power. And it's not a power of discipline and anger. It's a power of love. Power of love and peace is what we have. That is the power of the kingdom of God within us. Stay with me. Don't fall asleep yet. Is anybody excited about this? That you've got power within you? Because you missed a chance to say amen. You did. So think about this for a moment. The most important thing, the main purpose of Jesus was sent for, to teach the kingdom of God. He said the number one priority for you should be to seek first the kingdom of God. So it's the number one thing you should be looking for. And it says that it's a power. It's not of word. You've been reading words of faith in our faith building campaign, right? You've been reading words of power. Don't mix it up. It's words of power, because as you understand the faith, as it builds inside of you, it fires up that, fuels up that system of God. It fuels up that kingdom of God inside of you, and the power now can start to emanate and go out from you. It talks about the power went out from Jesus. It went out from him and healed everybody. It was emanating out of him. It was within him. But it's within you also. And as you build up your faith, as it grows inside of you, it fuels that power. It fuels that power to go out from you. Not a power of strict and aggression. Don't get it mixed up with that one. It is a power of love and peace. This is the power of God. This is the operating system of God, is love.
I heard somebody say that.
The operating system of God is love. So Jesus came to get it back online. And that's the power that we have inside of us. Are you starting to get an idea of what this kingdom of God can do in your life?
Amen.
Are you starting to get an idea of this?
Yes.
Now notice this. How do we receive it? This was an important point. This is Jesus again. Assuredly I say to you, Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. We have to receive it like a little child. What is he saying? We have to go back to being young again? Man, this is getting confusing. No, no, not like that. Being a little child means in a state of innocence. Don't think you know it all. See, the Pharisees were people that had used this information to gain knowledge, to gain power, not the strict kind of ruling power is what they were gaining over other people to condemn them under the law. Ah, you broke that law, you adulterated, we're stoning you. They were building it up in their mind. He says we have to receive it like a child, meaning in innocence, in love, in our hearts. That's where the kingdom of God is within us. And we receive it as a little child when we don't say we know it all, but when we say, God, tell me what to say. Tell me what to do. That's when that power begins to work. The power of love begins to work within us. Now, that wasn't all that he did. As he taught this and taught them how to receive it, he also sent people out to preach it. Here he talks about, this is Luke chapter 9, verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It's talking about the 12 disciples. Now the 12 disciples are going out to teach the kingdom of God. Now, why was that important? Why is he sending them out to teach the kingdom of God? Because before that, nobody taught it. Before John the Baptist, nobody taught it. Now Jesus teaches it. Now Jesus starts sending other people out to teach the kingdom of God. Let's go back to the beginning. In the very beginning, the whole plan was for Adam to take and go throughout all the world and plant the Garden of Eden. Basically, he was a church planter, is what I heard yesterday. He was a church planter to bring heaven on earth, to bring heaven to earth. And he had the system running. And he was to take that paradise of Eden and spread it through the entire earth. And when the system was running, that's what's possible. When it went offline, it was no longer possible. Now he toiled in the dirt. He had to work by the sweat of his brow. Nothing happened. It was hard. He struggled. It seemed really difficult. But Jesus brought the system back online. Now he wants the same thing that God wanted from the very beginning, for us to go out and preach the kingdom of God. In other words, for us to go out and be church planters. What do I mean by a church planter? A church is not four walls. A church is not a building. A church doesn't have a steeple on it. You're getting mixed up. A church is a person. And a church is a person who has the kingdom of God within them. They have received the kingdom of God. They have that power and that authority to wherever they go, the blessing goes. Wherever they go, wherever you go, the blessing goes. You're a church planter. What does that mean? That means you can infect other people with this virus. And this is a virus that is a power of love that has the ability to transform lives, to heal sickness, to cast out darkness, cast out demons. That's what you can infect people with as a church planter, because a church planter is about planting it into the hearts of other people, planting the kingdom of God into the hearts of other people. That's what a church planter is. And by that, you spread, you make heaven on earth, and you spread that paradise throughout the entire world. Same plan that God had in the beginning for Adam to spread the Garden of Eden through the entire world. Jesus is telling his disciples, go and preach the kingdom of God. His disciples are you. Oh, that's those 12 guys, Ted. That's not me. No, it's you. If you've received the kingdom of God, if you've heard it, if you have it, then that's you. And you need to go now and begin to preach and teach the gospel. Begin to share it with other people so that they can become churches too. So they can have the kingdom of God within them. So they can have the power of love within them that transforms and heals our lives. Man, you guys are missing a lot of opportunities to say amen and get excited. This is good stuff here. Man, I'm preaching better than you're praising. I'll tell you that right now. Because, man, this is good stuff. We got to get excited that we've been given that authority and that ability because Jesus came and taught us the kingdom of God. We now have the kingdom of God. Let me go back here. How did we get the kingdom of God? Because maybe you're asking, are you sure I have it, Ted? I'm not sure that I've got it. Well, it seems small like a mustard seed, so it may not feel like you've got it because you could lose a mustard seed in your shorts and not even know it. But I'm telling you, here's how you get the kingdom of God. First, we have to follow the plan of God. We have to listen to God. Hear what God is saying, because that's the same thing Jesus did. When God said something, Jesus said something. So he said whatever he heard his father say. So we want to listen to God and follow the plan of God. That's the first one. We got to have faith. Faith in God. So we got to believe in this plan. Because Jesus spoke the words of faith. And that's what activated the power. Listen to this. The kingdom of God is within us. We activate the power by speaking words of faith. Meaning we speak something we don't see. But we believe it, and we believe it's going to happen when we say it. And when we say it, and we believe it's going to happen, and we have the power within us, the kingdom of God within us, it happens.
Amen.
It happens, and that's faith. So we need faith. We also need to be born again. This is what Jesus said. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you have to be born of water and spirit, Jesus said. So you are baptized. Being born again doesn't mean going back into the womb. We found that out when we were doing this Bible study in John chapter 3. Doesn't mean that. But it does mean being transformed, becoming a new creature. A new creature means a new species. You are a different species than you were before. And that happens by receiving the baptism, being baptized by water, and then being baptized by the Spirit. If you haven't guessed by now, the power that's emanating is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love. Did you figure that out before
yes.
I said it?
Woohoo!
Because that's what's happening. We have received that Spirit of God, and that is the power that is within us. That is the power that gives us the ability to go forth and heal sick, cast out demons. It's working inside of us, and it is within us.
Amen.
It's within you.
Amen.
And you have that power.
Praise
so
God.
Once we receive that baptism, and we've been baptized by water and baptized by the Spirit, now we have it within us. It is the kingdom of God is within us, and all we have to do is listen to God. He will speak to us in our spirit and tell us what to do and where to go. And as we build up our faith, this is the importance of the faith building campaign. As we build up our faith, then we can speak the words of faith. The same way Jesus spoke to demons and they were cast out. The same way Jesus spoke to wind and it calmed down. The same way Jesus spoke to the dead and they were raised. You have that same power. You have that same ability and same strength within you. When you speak those words of faith, when you have been baptized by water and the Spirit, which you have that power within you. It feels small like a mustard seed, so maybe you don't notice it. Man, stir it up. Begin to speak the words of faith and believe it, because it'll change your life. It will liberate you.
Amen.
And you'll liberate other people. You'll liberate them from poverty. You'll liberate them from sickness. You'll liberate them from darkness. You'll liberate them from everything, man. Get
Amen.
With the program.
Amen.
Oh, God is good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, for all those of you at home, if you have not received Jesus into your heart yet, and you want to have the kingdom of God, you want to have that power of love to transform, to liberate, I invite you right now to join me. Just close your eyes right there where you are and make a decision right now to invite Jesus to come into your heart. Just say, Jesus, I believe that you came to teach the kingdom of God. I believe that you were raised from the dead. I believe that you overcame everything and that you fulfilled the law completely and totally. I believe that you are the Son of God. And I invite you to come into my heart now, Jesus, and to bring that Spirit of God, that Spirit of love. And I receive it fully and completely in Jesus' name. Amen.